What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Hello again. As Jim Nance would say, hello, friends. Sitting here on a Thursday night, just had a little dinner. It's about 6 o'clock. We have no football on TV right now. Maybe there's a college football game on. I don't know. I got the baseball game on in my office. But we don't have an NFL game. Feels a little weird. There was obviously a Tuesday night game. I wasn't able to watch it live. Went back and watched it during my workout on Wednesday. When I say workout, I just mean this, stationary bike that I got delivered to my office that I had. It's the only thing I can do. But have some thoughts on Mike Vrabel, Amazon getting in the football game. I saw a story today, and I'm sure you hear the read sometime on this podcast about all the programming Amazon Prime's doing. I have some takeaways there. Sam Darnold, it's starting to get a little weird. This is probably coming down the home stretch of Sam Darnold's career, which is pretty nuts when you think about it. Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen will not have lasted on their teams. I mean, Josh lasted for a year. Sam Darnold will probably last for 3 years. Three for the money, where I pick three games. And then just two games that I'm really, really interested to see. And I hammered this home last week. I'm going to hammer it home again. You'll find out next week. It's nothing bad. It's actually really good. It's really cool. It's going to be great for everybody, Colin included. And if you want to keep listening to this podcast, I'm sure a lot of you listen through Colin's feed, go to Apple or iTunes and subscribe to the podcast that way. Press, go there, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, find Three and Out with me and press subscribe. And if you go to Apple iTunes, leave a review, helps selling, helps the salespeople sell it. And I would greatly appreciate that. Also, Middlecoff Mailbag at John Middlecoff. Slide up in those DMs. We answer Middlecoff Mailbag at the end of the show. But again, you want to listen to the show next week, go to Three and Out Podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, is that a thing? I just use Apple iTunes, so I'm living in my own little podcast bubble. But I know a lot of people listen to it different places. Be more information next week. It's going to be really cool and really excited. But just, it's not much going to change. I mean, I actually might do the podcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays instead of Tuesdays and Fridays. But I was just thinking out loud, who knows? I'm going to keep doing podcasts. Obviously, you can find me on social media, but podcasts, we're going to keep talking football and having a good time because it's the people show. I do it for you guys. Let's start off with this. The NFL has become so offensive heavy, and rightfully so. The rules dictate it. If you are not dynamic on offense right now, you're behind the curve. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit wide receivers. It's just it's an offensive league for a reason. It's never been easier to score points. Just like that's just a fact. It's never been easier to play quarterback. It's not even arguable. It's just like that'd be like me saying if you have a company right now and you're not pushing out stuff on the internet, you're behind the curve. Like if you're not throwing the ball a lot, you probably have problems, you know? If you don't have a good quarterback, like you could get by when I was growing up if your team was well-built. It's really hard to do that now because everything is so quarterback-centric. Again, for a reason. The rules dictate it. The rules dictate everything in life. Yeah, I know we got business people that listen to this podcast. The rules dictate how you do business. What are the rules? I mean, we're in the middle of the pandemic's going on. Where are most people doing their shopping? The internet. That's why people push a lot of product on Instagram. I don't know. It works. Why do people throw bombs in the NFL right now? Well, because the wide receiver can't cover him. He's not allowed to touch him. The wide receiver is not scared of getting hit by the safety coming over the top. Why? Because he's not allowed to hit him. Headhunting got thrown out of the game. The game's adapted. So the people that sign the checks, the owners, and those people that the first guy that answers to them is usually the GM. What are they looking for? Offensive coaches. They've become the apple of everyone's eye. Rightfully so, right? I understand it, and I would make that a priority as well. And we have a lot of great offensive coaches in the league just in general. Obviously, Andy, Sean Payton, Kyle, Sean McVay. Like, we've seen it. But I think there was somewhat of an overreaction. You got guys like Cliff Kingsbury, who I said from the jump, like, I don't know. LaFleur, I might be wrong on. He looks pretty damn good. But, Arians, older guy, really good. I like offensive coaches, too. But that still doesn't mean a defensive coach can't be a great coach. And Mike Vrabel, if Mike Vrabel had been an offensive tackle for Belichick and was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State and then at the Houston Texans and then became the head coach for the Texans and was now their head coach offensive coordinator, we would talk about him like a bigger Sean McVay, right? Good looking, Ohio State, just football guy, big personality, everyone likes him. And say he's a defensive guy, and no one talks about him. All I know when I look at 45-year-old Mike Vrabel, I went to a Tennessee Titans OTA, I think it was 3 years ago, actually for this podcast. I knew John Robinson I met him when I was a GA at Fresno State, but I had a buddy who was getting married. We threw his bachelor party in Nashville. I'm like, fuck it. I'll go out for the week Monday through Friday before everyone shows up on Friday. I'll play some golf. I'll go to a Titans practice. I'll get an interview. I'll just kind of take in Nashville. And I did, and it was sweet. But that week, beside the golf, which was really good, I remember going to practice, and I've obviously been to Andy Reid practices, Harbaugh practices, Kyle Shanahan practices, and going, this is really, really impressive. And it's pretty clear watching Mike Vrabel. He's now 21-14 since his time taking over for, as the head coach. And really, a lot of those games were with Marcus Mariota, who, listen, nice guy, not a great player. Ryan Tannehill is much better. When Ryan Tannehill's been their quarterback, they've been damn good. They're currently 4-0. He won 2 playoff games last year. Like, this guy's big time. Now, the nature of the league is if you're not an offensive coach, it's not that sexy. True or not, that's just the reality we live in, right? And I think Mike Vrabel is as good as any coach, young coach in this league. Of all the younger guys, like under 50 we talk about, he should be mentioned there. This guy just won 2 playoff games on the road as an underdog, back when the fans were allowed to pack the house. It's like, oh yeah, Mike Vrabel, what are the Titans 4-0? What are they probably going to do? I don't know, 12-4? I mean, they just beat the crap out of the Bills. They housed them. And they have a true identity, what he's done with the quarterback, empowering that guy. Clearly, Vrabel believed in him. Now had multiple offensive coordinators, keeps having success. I just don't think we talk about this guy enough. And I think the Tennessee Titans, I don't know if they're quite a Super Bowl contender, but, I mean, last year they were in the AFC Championship game, right? So why wouldn't they be in that mix again? I just think we need to start giving Vrabel his due. He's a superstar. I don't think there's just any way around it. He's a star head coach. And if you had a coaching draft, he would be the guy that went really high that just no one talks about. Okay, I think this rings true in any business. When you are trying to gain a new partnership with another entity that will be good for your business, you start laying the groundwork, especially I would say in big business, Fortune 500 companies, years in advance. And I can speak from experience in my radio career. I worked at the station in the Bay Area that had the A's and the Raiders. I mean, the two properties you don't want. You want the Niners and definitely the Giants. And the lifeblood of a local radio station in a market is to have the biggest teams. So whether that's in college to have like the University of Florida or Alabama, or if it's New York to have the Yankees. Because what that partnership gives you is not just the games. Let's say you have the Yankees. The games are great. But it also gives you, you're going to get the manager on once a week. You're going to get the GM. You're going to get access to players. You're going to build a lot of programming around that. So my when I was with the radio, the Golden State Warriors were their radio contract was up. Obviously, it was before Kevin Durant, but when the Warriors had won a championship and then had the 73-win team. So we started building programming, just the Warriors Hour on Wednesday and Friday, and just programming for the Warriors so they could look and be like, these guys are really, really serious. Station ended up getting the Warriors, still has them to this day. It's actually the basketball team. The irony is the last product you really want, because it's not like Steph and Clay never go on the station. You don't really get that much out of it beside the games. It's really, really valuable for baseball because you get the games, and for football because you get the head coach and the GM. And, you know, the reason that WFAN has crushed it in New York with the Yankees, the big station in Boston that has the Patriots, you get Belichick and Brady. It's very lucrative, and it's a game changer. Well, if you are in the streaming or just television business, you want to have the NFL. Because beside news, the only thing people watch right now consistently at large numbers is the NFL. And you just say sports in general, but as you see with baseball and the NBA, it's very fickle. And for whatever reason, politics, you know, the effort on the field, baseball slow, whatever, but they don't sniff. They don't sniff The NBA final. There wasn't one game in the NBA finals that got within millions of viewers of the Tuesday night football game. Which, now granted, was two undefeated teams, but still, it's still Bills-Titans. And the Lakers, not one NBA Finals game. There wasn't one game in the bubble. There wasn't one NBA game this year that got even close to that Tuesday night football game. So, and listen, I've been now, luckily enough, I was forced into being in the streaming world and podcast, but it was perfect timing. And it's I tell people this all the time. It hasn't scratched the surface. Streaming hasn't. Podcasting hasn't. The internet hasn't. Think about the internet. It's really been around, I mean, from a standpoint where we all use it consistently for what, 20 years? I mean, seriously, 20 years? Maybe even less. I mean, I remember using AOL Instant Messenger in high school. Well, I was in high school in 2001, 2002, 2003. And it was I wouldn't consider the internet very good back then. So I'd say when the internet got pretty normal, probably around 04, 05. So about 15 years of it running pretty well. And think of what's happened the last 5 or 6 years with e-commerce, Amazon. And that's where I start. Amazon has been the greatest beneficiary of the internet. They've capitalized it and become one of the biggest companies we've ever seen. And listen, I admire Bezos. The dude started a company in, I mean, you can all Google the picture where he has like the paper behind him in that little, it looks like a tiny little office that just says Amazon that he hand wrote with like a Sharpie. And now he's created this unreal company. Visionary. It's been incredible. But he's always forward thinking. When he bought, the day that he bought Whole Foods, and I don't know, is Whole Foods a national chain? I think it's personally a little overrated. I mean, good food, it just costs you an arm and a leg. Well, he bought it, and it cost him like $15 billion, but on the same day, his stock went up, and it actually, he didn't even lose money making the acquisition. He like made money. It was an incredible acquisition. Because one day, he's probably going to deliver all the food, right? And he also, I use Amazon video. Like, I watch shows on there. I watch television shows. I watch some of their, the content that they create. And they're going to get in the NFL. I would imagine the next 4 or 5 years, Amazon will be like CBS, ABC, or NBC. And they will have an NFL package. Because it's normalized enough now where everyone has Amazon Prime and Amazon Video and Amazon. Like, we all do. And I'm sure you hear the reads. They're doing countless programming with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. And then another one with Kerry Champion and Chris Long. And I'm not going to reread the ad, but they're coming. And they're laying the groundwork right now because they know when they line up their package, they're already in good. And what do you think the NFL wants to do? They want to be in with this guy. They want to be in with where the future's going, especially the younger owners. You know, the older owners are probably, and they're kind of dying out. I'd say Jerry's the last of a dying breed, but even Jerry, they ask him once upon a time, why'd you name your stadium AT&T? He said they offered the most money and I'm a whore. I would say Jerry, for being a guy in his late 70s, that, you know, having been around, you know, my dad was basically the same age as Jerry Jones. I've been around a lot of men growing up that are that age, that are that mindset, that are in the business community. They are pretty loyal. Like, that was a defining characteristic, I always thought, of that group of businessmen. They were very loyal because in the 70s and 80s, when you did business deals, a lot of handshake deals. And I'd say my generation is the complete opposite of loyal, which is not a good thing, but it's also, I think, pretty healthy. Like, I'm always, and maybe this isn't healthy, I'm always apprehensive when I hear things. I always question things. I probably, you know, don't open myself up easily. Definitely not anymore within the last 5 or 6 years. But I think when you just look at the, you know, guys between 25 and 40, look at the rate they change jobs. That wasn't the way society used to work. Society is just a lot different. And Fox made the NFL a ton of money when they got into the NFL, and they took the NFC to the next level, obviously, in the early 90s, and it was perfect timing. The Niners, the Packers, the Cowboys, they built John Madden kind of around those three brands, and it shot up like a rocket ship. And then what CBS has done over the last 20 years, basically with the Manning and Brady, you know, rivalry and the Steelers and Ben, it's just been incredible. But I think it's clear where the new wave is. And Amazon is where it's going. Because I think about it all the time. The only reason I don't cord cut is because, and this is going to sound kind of stupid, I'm so beholden to television because watching games is literally how I feed my unborn children. Like, I have to, and I want to feel comfortable that I know that Comcast will never go down. I'm not tied into, like, if my internet goes down, I won't be able to stream the TV. And maybe that's an antiquated way of thinking. Because I know some people that have YouTube TV and I've been over at their house where it has to load, or I've been on the phone with someone that's watching YouTube TV and I watch a play and then 10 seconds later he sees the play. And maybe it's stupid. I'm like, why are you so behind? And I was like, well, I got YouTube TV. But everyone's going to have that. And we're all going to watch all of our TV off the apps, you know, that are on our smart TVs. That's where we're all headed. It's why I'm so bullish on podcasts. Not because I'm in the podcast industry, because every single time I get in the car with someone under 40 and anyone with a newer car, they don't click on the radio. My mom has a 2019 Mercedes. She wouldn't know where the radio station was if you paid her. But SiriusXM comes on, and she knows where her music stations are, and she knows what she wants to listen to, and her phone immediately connects. And when I get into my brother's Expedition, boom, his phone connects, and he brings up his playlist, what music he wants to listen to, or if he's going to listen to Joe Rogan or whatever. It's like you just have to see where it's going. It's inevitable. And Amazon has all the money, and I think if you're Fox and ABC, you got to be a little nervous because they could come in with a number that is just dramatically higher than your number and not even blink and not even worry. And not worry about, you know what, we're maybe overpaying for $1 billion, even though we just went through a year of a pandemic, right? ESPN, for example, and ABC, I read a report, Jim Cramer said that he had heard that Disney might want to get out of ESPN. Why? Because ESPN for the last 6 months has been a disaster for them financially, right? And think about all these networks. You just lost sports. Everyone lost money. You know who didn't lose money? Jeff Bezos. He made money. He's gotten richer. Now, I defend him because a lot of people act like these tech companies who I know in California, they don't want the lockdown to end. They're making historic profits. To me, Bezos was already killing it. Like, I give him the benefit of the doubt on this. Like, he's making more money just because it's set up, but he was going to kill it either way. It might have accelerated his dominance, but he was already on top, right? Like, a huge reason, like Mark Benioff and some of those guys that leading the lockdown out in California is because it was going to be beneficial to his business. And then he fired a bunch of people. It's like, you know, it's kind of shady. But Jeff Bezos would have had more money whether the pandemic hit or not. Fox, CBS, ABC, they would have been like, the competition with him is real. What happens if Jeff Bezos goes, I want the NFC. I want the San Francisco, LA, Seattle, Dallas, Philly, New York. I want those markets. Because if I'm Bezos, that's what I come after. What does Fox do? I mean, that's I just don't think there's loyalty goes out the window in 2020. It's just not the same. And maybe it's not even a generational thing. There's just too much money in the line. And anytime the amount of monies go from, you know, once upon a time it was a $200 million deal, which, you know, probably however many 25 years ago, a lot, or $500 million deal. And then it's a $1 billion deal. Well, once the deal becomes like we're $2 billion, well, okay, if $2 billion's your offer and this guy offers $4 billion, whether we've been in business for 30 years, I don't really give a shit. I got to go with this guy. I have a fiduciary duty to my league if I'm Roger and these owners. Like, we don't have a choice. I just think it's going to be very, very tough with Bezos as this new, you know, television deal comes, you know, up for, you know, just redistribution. And all these leagues kind of re-up, or I mean all these networks re-up to the league, that I think Bezos is going to come in and throw a haymaker. You can already see him lining up. Well, when most of us, you know, leave high school, if you're going to go right to the workforce, definitely if you graduate college, you, in theory, you know, get to pick your job. You get to go where you want to go, or at least somewhat make a decision. Some of us, like me, I only had one option. But I got to choose. I got to go work at Fresno State. If I didn't want to work there, I could have gone and worked, could have got an insurance company, could have gone real estate. I don't know. Probably not. It was 08 in the middle. I think the recession had just hit. I was kind of naive to it because I had no money and didn't own anything, so it didn't really impact me. But it definitely impacted a lot of people in the country and definitely a lot of people in my graduating class workforce. They were limited, but they still, you know, when you leave college, you get to choose. Well, pro athletes do not. You get picked by a team. And when you're really good, definitely in basketball and in football, you go to the worst teams in the league. We could probably get into a deeper discussion one day, maybe in the offseason. Is the way they do drafts the right way to do it? Should the worst teams be rewarded? That's a whole nother discussion. That it just, because in football, at least basketball, they have a lottery. In football, it's just by record. So when you're the worst team, you draft really high. Now, the Jets, ironically, were, I think, the 6th overall pick and traded up to the 3rd pick, and they got Sam Darnold. And here's what you would say in that draft class. Baker Mayfield definitely went to a disaster, but a couple years later, his team's really talented. It feels like they got him a credible head coach. Feels like they have some front office people that know what they're doing. And again, their team is stacked. Sam Darnold, we'll get to him in a second. Josh Allen probably didn't feel great at the time that he was drafted. 3 years later, great situation. Really good head coach, good infrastructure. They've drafted and signed and traded for a lot of skill guys around him. He has a good defense, good GM, high-level operation. Josh Rosen, well-known disaster. Turns out he might just suck, but clearly kind of got screwed. The best case scenario, probably we've seen in recent memory, Lamar Jackson to the Ravens. It couldn't be any more perfect. You got Harbaugh, you got a defense, you get Greg Roman that developed a running offense with a previous running quarterback, and this guy's way better than that guy, and it's just awesome. And he's sweet. And they win a bunch of games. Like, that's the best case scenario. Josh Rosen, worst case scenario. Probably somewhere in the middle, but closer to Rosen than Lamar would be Sam Darnold. Now, he did not choose going there. Like, when he left high school, he could have gone to USC. I'd have to look up who offered him, but let's just say, like, he could have gone to Oregon. He could have gone to Texas. Like, you get to choose coming out of high school. In the NFL, you do not, especially when you're good. But even if you're just a draftable player, like, the team gets to pick you. It's why we often said, like, in, like, the 6th or 7th round, you're better off going undrafted sometimes and picking your situation. Well, he went to a team with a GM that will never be a GM in the league again. It doesn't deserve to be. I mean, was embarrassingly shitty. And Adam Gase, who I once defended in Miami, turns out he's terrible. Turns out he's just an awful coach. And Sam Darnold also has zero talent on his team. So I don't think the Jets are going to win a game this year. It's kind of crazy. They are a 9.5-point underdog to the Miami Dolphins. 9.5-point underdog to the Miami Dolphins. Pretty nuts. But that's true. He's not even playing. Is Sam Darnold good or not? I think he's talented. Is he good? I don't know. I've had people in the league saying, I think you can develop bad habits, and it's just he's gonna need a refresher. But the football gods might shine down on him because his team's going to be terrible. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to trade Sam Darnold. And it's pretty clear the couple teams that we're going to be interested, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars are not going to trade for Sam Darnold. The Houston Texans that suck are not going to trade for Sam Darnold. The Minnesota Vikings that suck are not going to trade for Sam Darnold. You know who's going to trade for Sam Darnold? The Indianapolis Colts or the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I do feel pretty confident, while the first 3 years of his football life are going to be awful, he is going to get an opportunity to change the course of his career. I feel pretty confident about that on October 15th. Now, how much he's going to go for, I could not trade a first-round pick for him because he just might not be good enough. But we've seen Pittsburgh Steelers, they did it for Minka Fitzpatrick when they thought they were going to be bad. I thought it was a crazy move. Now, Minka was a much better player in a vacuum than Sam Darnold is in a vacuum right now. But we've seen Pittsburgh be aggressive, and it worked out. I think the Indianapolis Colts got to be asking themselves, if we had Sam Darnold on our team right now, would we be way better? And I think the answer is 100% yes, we'd be way better. Because he would be way better with Frank Reich and the talent we have around this team. So listen, sometimes things start really, really poorly. In life, in football, in whatever. In your first job. But typically, if you're really talented, and sometimes situations like this is going to be out of Sam Darnold's career, you know, he doesn't have any control over this. But I do think when the dust settles at the end of the year, it's all going to play out. It happened once upon a time to Steve Young. He was with the Tampa Bay, I think they were called the Yucks. They were a joke. And then Bill Walsh got his hands on him. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. He won an MVP and he won a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Sam Darnold, but I do think the teams that are going to be interested in Sam Darnold are going to be the high-level good teams and the teams that make the playoffs this year and the teams that have the older quarterbacks and that need to pivot. So, hell, maybe it's Tampa next year, right? Maybe Tampa looks, goes like, why don't we trade a first-round pick for him and just have him behind Brady for a year? I think the smart teams are gonna circle like a great white shark when there's blood in the water, because they'll know that they're going to get an opportunity to get a guy that was a legitimate top five player. He was. He had earned that right. He was worthy of that pick. He was worthy of the number one overall pick. He doesn't look like that now, but the Jets organization couldn't be a bigger joke. So it's hard to hold that over his head. I'm telling you, October 15th, I think when we're before the draft, it's going to all work out for Sam Darnold. There are two games that I am very, very interested in watching this week. And one of them, talking about the Steelers with Sam Darnold, would be the Steelers and the Browns. And I heard Greg Cosell say this Thursday on Colin's show, that when you just watch Baker on tape, he hasn't been very good. And I was watching the Colts-Browns game on my iPad on like Monday or Tuesday. I guess it would have been Monday because I talked about it here on the podcast on Tuesday. And he threw some terrible picks. And here's the one thing with the Browns. If you can take away their run game, you put it on Baker Mayfield. And the problem with the Colts is Phillip Rivers was thrown to the other team. I don't expect Ben Roethlisberger to just turn the ball over like Phillip Rivers was. So can Baker Mayfield beat you is going to be the question. And I don't think he can. Now, I'm interested to watch, like, Myles Garrett, I got to take the L on this. When they signed him to $100 million, maybe it was $102 million, whatever. Maybe, I guess Joey Bosa got a little more than Miles. When he got that money, I went, you know, I see the guy's really talented. I think that's pretty bold. I'm wrong. He's a top five player in the NFL non-quarterback right now. He's unblockable, freak show. He's worth every penny. Hell, he's underpaid. So the Browns have the talent to hang. I just don't know if their quarterback's good enough. Now, he can shut me up. You throw for a couple hundred yards on this defense, you get a win at Pittsburgh, it would be the biggest win in 20 years for the Cleveland Browns. The other games is the Rams and 49ers. The Niners, you know, they went to the Super Bowl last year. They had a lead in the fourth quarter. Then they come this year, and they get upset week one against Kyler Murray. And we're like, well, maybe the Cardinals are good. Well, it turns out, like I've said, Cliff Kingsbury, they'll be 7-8 wins. Maybe 6, who knows. But the Niners, the last 2 weeks, have been a joke. To lose the Eagle game with Nick Mullins turning it over at like junior high level turnovers was an embarrassment. But last week was even worse. To get blown out by the Miami Dolphins. Get absolutely, they were down 30-7 at home to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they were rolling out a guy that I swear to God would have struggled to cover me or you, Brian Allen. But as my friend Matt Maiocco said, who covers the Niners, it's not fair to blame Brian Allen. You have to blame the coaches for putting them out there, and that's true. Sean McVay and the Rams have looked fantastic this year. They had one kind of dud against the Giants, but like I give you a dud against a bad team, you don't try that hard, you still win the game. Even the game against the Bills, which they lost, they came storming back, and at any moment they can score serious points. Now, I still think they're a little flawed on defense. Aaron Donald is dominant. Jalen Ramsey is really good, but the other, you know, nine guys I don't believe in, but they're definitely a playoff team. They have an elite offense. They have the best defensive player. Sean McVay's a stud. Everyone is going to be taking the Rams. I do think that if Kyle Shanahan, which I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I jumped the gun after one season, is an elite coach, you don't lose 3 games in a row, especially at home. Like, you just pull shit out, like, of your back pocket. You scheme things up. Trick plays. You do whatever you have to do to win. And I think this is a big week for Kyle Shanahan. I know the Rams are good. I watch them every week. They're good. The Niners had their most embarrassing moment as in Kyle Shanahan's career as a 49er head coach. Because even the first couple years, like, whatever, your team's bad, we didn't hold you to a high standard. Well, once you're viewed as a top-flight coach, you get a 6-year contract extension this offseason, you can't be down 30-7 to the Miami Dolphins at half, at home. It can't happen. Brian Fitzpatrick can't throw multiple 3 touchdowns in the first half against you. And you just keep throwing picks and don't have any plays that work. Like I expect more out of them. And I think this week I like the Steelers. And I do think we get a valiant bounce-back effort from the Niners. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Niners just stink. But if that's the truth, then I'll be honest, I might view Kyle a little bit differently. Okay, let's go a little 3 for the money. Let's bang this out quick. The Bears at the Panthers. Now listen, Joe Brady, keep an eye on him.
future Sean McVay head coach. Like, he's going to be a head coach either this year or next year. It's happening. He's a lock interview this offseason. But, like, can they maintain this? Is their roster good enough? Are they just going to keep winning? Are the Carolina Panthers going to be 4-2? I don't see it. The Bears, coming off a long week, because remember, they played the Bucs last Thursday. The game opened at like 2.5. It's now, they're getting 1.5. I like the Bears as a dog in this game. I think it's going to be a different animal for Teddy Bridgewater, the physical defense. They've played the Falcons and the Cardinals the last 2 weeks. Two teams I would not call defensive juggernauts. The Bears, listen, depending on where you look statistically, their unit, just talent-wise, their front's really good, their linebackers are good, their safety plays good. You know, Joe Brady might I think we just get a little humble pie for the Carolina Panthers. Listen, I've been nothing but impressed with Matt Rhule. He's been worth every penny. I give him props on the Joe Brady hire. I like the Bears in this situation. The Brown-Steeler game that we just talked about, I'm going to lean Steelers in this game at 3.5. I'd like the number a lot more at 3, but I'm just betting against Baker Mayfield. That's my mindset. I'm betting against Baker Mayfield, and I'm really just betting on Steelers, their culture, their physicality, their playmakers, especially on offense. I just think Ben versus Baker, it's not even a contest. Even Ben's old. I don't care. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the Browns this year go 12-4. Well, if they're a 12-4 team, they'd probably win this game. Now, the Steelers, it's hard to keep up with these Corona teams. Like, when's the last time they played? Did they play? I guess they played the Eagles last week, huh? I guess they missed the Titans game. So, you know, they're well-rested, right, because they got that 1 week off. But I like the Steelers minus 3.5. I'm going to go a little outside the box on this one. It sounds crazy. On my other podcast, Haberman and Middlecoff, we've been doing a bet every week, put $250 on one individual game. We put on the Eagles to win outright. And my thought is, like, listen, they're getting Alshon. They're getting Deshaun back. Their defensive line's really good. You know, I think the Ravens beat up on really bad opponents. Now, you could argue the Eagles are bad, but I think what you saw last week with Pittsburgh is the Eagles really fight. They have a really good defensive line. I don't know. I don't have much behind this. I'm just going upset special here. I'm a gut feel guy, and this is just a gut feel. I'm going Eagles plus 8. I'm going to go a little bonus. I like the dogs this week. I like the Niners to cover the 3.5 points. I know it sounds crazy. Everyone, kind of like the Ravens and kind of like the Rams, everyone and their mother is going to be betting on those two teams. Like, the Eagles suck. The Niners suck. Take the points. Take the points. Sunday Night Football at Levi's, coming off the most embarrassing loss of the Kyle Shanahan tenure as a 49er head coach. I kind of like the Niners to win outright. You can't base on the last previous game. She'd be like, Middlecoff, what the hell are you talking about? I'd be like, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Matty Ice plays for the Falcons. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins, he looked like Ryan Marino. I don't disagree there. But they get Emmanuel Mosley back. Richard Sherman's still not playing, not ideal, but I think they get after the Rams. I really do. Gut feeling. I'm going Bears plus 1.5, Steelers minus 3.5, Eagles plus 8, Niners plus 3.5. Okay, let's go a little Middlecoff mailbag. But before we do that, again, you guys got to subscribe to 3 and Out Podcast, whether it's Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever the hell you guys subscribe. Go do that right now before you forget, because that's where we're going to be next week. Greetings from Ireland. Middlecoff mailbag at John Middlecoff. Instagram. Slide up in those DMs. Get it answered here. Question for the pod. What are the chances of Kyle going out for another quarterback that's been proven in the league? In a trade like the one he did with Belichick for Jimmy, someone like Matt Ryan, you would think Atlanta are in for a quarterback now as a rebuild continues. And Matt declines. With the history there and Kyle getting the best out of Matt in the Super Bowl year, you'd have to think that he'd be an upgrade, who clearly after the 49ers Super Bowl and the start to this season is not the guy. Appreciate your thoughts. Week to week, keep hammering. Okay, appreciate it, bro. Listen, my take is pretty simple. When I see Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan, those two names, with Kyle Shanahan, I'm just like, no. can you just find another quarterback? Like, Dak Prescott was in the fourth round. Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Like, you're a $10 million coach. You're an offensive, quote-unquote, genius. Just draft a guy. It doesn't even need to be a first-rounder. Draft a guy in the second round. Make him your starter. It's never been easier to play quarterback. Like, find a Dak in the third round, right? I mean, it's possible. You don't need to get Trevor Lawrence in the first. Just get a guy in the mid rounds. Build your franchise around him. That's what we pay you all this money for. Do that. That's what Jimmy was. You went to the Super Bowl with him. I'd trade for Matt Ryan. No, he makes way too much money. He stinks. I think Matt Ryan is shot. I think him and Phillip Rivers are the same guy right now. Love the pod and your take. Since being drafted number one overall, it seems as though Myles Garrett is one of three things. Injured, suspended, dominant. Yet when analysts regularly discuss the league's best pass rushers, Garrett is never among the first names to come up. Am I crazy, or is he not the best pass rusher in the league? Can you find someone else in the league with his power, speed, and bend? Question? No, I can't. I know he's endured some pretty disastrous seasons under Hugh and Freddie, but the dude is virtually unblockable. Would you choose any other defensive end over him in the league? And if so, why?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could make the argument for him. I mean, Khalil Mack's a little older. I'd probably rather have Aaron Donald than him. I would have said Nick Bosa, but he tore his ACL. Joey Bosa always gets hurt, also gets hurt. Yeah, I mean, he's an elite guy. He's a $100 million player. Maybe it's because the Browns haven't played in important games. Like, Nick Bosa was part of a team that went to the Super Bowl. Khalil Mack, been to the playoffs a couple times. Been an All-Pro a couple times. You know, Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP. I think this year they make the playoffs, he'll get that due. Because you cannot turn on a Browns game and not see that guy coming around the edge like he's Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he is a freak. He is a big-time freak. As someone who watches your podcasts, heard you mention about watching on Tesla this morning, and that's how I listen every morning. Just wanted to let you know that you were on there on Colin's feed, but I couldn't find it on its own. If you were going off this feed, I don't think it will show up. Hope this helps. Yeah, we got to get in with the Tesla crowd. It's probably not a huge majority of people, but we never want to exclude. We want to include. We're an inclusive show. Monstrous conspiracy theory for you. Okay, I'm so ready for read this. Arthur Blank tears it down before the trade deadline. He was super noncommittal on Matt Ryan and his presser and trades Ryan to the 49ers. Falcons go on the tank to Trevor. Love your content, by the way. I hope not, but I would never put that past him. So I think Matt Ryan, and I would imagine that they're Falcons fans listening, I just don't think he's that good anymore. Like, he's not a $35 million player or whatever he's making. Honestly, if you just had a good team, would you want Matt Ryan to be your starter? Because I wouldn't. I just wouldn't want Matt Ryan to be my starting quarterback. I like the guy. I saw him when I went to the AT&T Pebble Beach golf tournament. Stood right next to him. He's actually a lot taller than you think. I've watched him have great games against the Niners over the years. I've seen him play in person several times. Used to be really good. I don't think he's any good anymore. Since it looks like Atlanta will move on from Matt Ryan. God, there's a lot of Matt Ryan talk. And Jimmy G on a team-friendly deal. Could you see Kyle Shanahan? There is a lot of people that want Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan to get back together. You know, this feels a little like Brad and Angelina. Like, can't we just let a divorce be a divorce? Can't we just let the breakup, or not Angelina, Jennifer Lawrence. Like, they had a good run. They went to the Super Bowl. They won an MVP. And it's over. Sometimes when you get divorced, just go date someone new. What do they tell you when you're young? There's a lot of fish in the sea. Like, there's a lot of people out there. I watch college football on Saturdays. Quarterbacks everywhere. I mean, Jameis, try something else. I mean, I got an agenda and I got a bias here because I got to watch the Niners so closely. I just don't want to watch Matt Ryan. Plus, I just think, like, go find someone else. There's a million quarterbacks. Never been easier to find a quarterback. I mean, there's every guy, it feels like, can play a little. I'd rather just do something else. So I'd say no on Matt Ryan. Question. How many teams break their salary cap down by positions or try to stay close to a percentage of a cap per position? I.e., O-line gets 15% of cap, wide receivers 9%. What I think happens is every team in the league prints out every other team in the league and sees how every team does it. And then whatever team you're aspiring to be like or you feel the best teams, you kind of look and see if there are balances that they do. But you are kind of at the mercy of who you have on your own team, right? Like, if you have a rookie quarterback that's making $5 million or if you have Aaron Rodgers that's making $35 million, it immediately changes it. If you have Michael Thomas that makes 20 Or if you have a bunch of young wide receivers who don't make any money, like, what if you don't have any good offensive linemen? You know, but you have a great defensive line and great corners and a great quarterback. I think, in theory, it's easy to write it down. Like, go to the whiteboard. We want this percentage here, this percentage here. But then you draft a guy, and that guy sucks, but your fourth round, you know, linebacker is an all-pro. You know, you end up paying him when you wanted to pay a right tackle. I just think you're very, very – you're just at the mercy of the players on your own team and who's worth getting paid. Thanks for making the long commutes to work a little more enjoyable. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're able to work during these crazy times. Do you see Anthony Lynn's turning this season around? No. He is a high-character guy, and it seems like the Chargers are still playing hard for him despite all the injuries. Conversely, if the Chargers post another losing season, you see them firing both Anthony Lynn and the GM Telesco. I think Telesco's done a good job. I think he picks good players. I think they have a lot of talent. I think Anthony Lynn is not good. He can't be the head coach of your team if you want to make the playoffs consistently. I know he made the playoffs the 1 year. We remember we won that Thursday night game when Phillip Rivers beat the Chiefs. Fantastic comeback. But Anthony Lynn, he's got to go. And, you know, he's probably going to be a good assistant coach. He'd be a good assistant head coach. You know, running back coach, I wouldn't even want him in my OC. Too conservative. There are times to be conservative in life, right? When the stock market's crashing, as it might do in a couple weeks with the election coming around, just take a deep breath. Let your stocks go crazy. You know, just take a deep breath. When you're down 5 points or 7 points and you got to drive the length of the field, you need to pass the ball, not run a draw play. And every time I see Anthony Lynn, I just go, God, this guy wants to run it. God, he wants to run it. And then I get people like, he's not even the offensive coordinator. Yeah, he's the boss. He can tell the offensive coordinator to do whatever he wants. And he's just not good enough. I don't know quite what he does. He's like a CEO head coach, but he's like a conservative CEO head coach. Like for example, Harbaugh is a CEO head coach. Well, what do the Ravens do? They go for it a lot. They're aggressive, even though they have a run-first mentality. But that's a lot because of the quarterback. But like when I watch Harbaugh coach, I don't feel like he coaches scared. When I watch Anthony Lynn coach, I feel like he's coaching just to hold on. It's like, bro, just let it rip. You're a head coach in the NFL with a really talented team. Put the pedal to the metal. You know, don't coach scared. You're not going to have this job much longer if you do that. There is a lot. I swear to God, every DM I open is Kyle Shanahan, Matty Ice. I'm going to end it on this. And maybe I'm wrong, because Matt Ryan, maybe it's just a product of the crappy team, Dan Quinn, even though Dan has nothing to do with the offense. I think Matt Ryan shot. I would not mess with him. I'm not messing with quarterbacks in 2020 who are bad athletes and don't have a good arm. Why would you want a quarterback who's a bad athlete and who has a bad arm? You know the other name that's going to get brought up with Kyle Shanahan if this goes wrong this year with Jimmy Garoppolo? It's going to be Kirk Cousins. You know who, if I'm a general manager, I'm out on? Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. I don't want my quarterbacks to not be able to move and not have great arms. And I'd probably take, as crazy as it sounds, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins in 2020 over Matt Ryan, all things being equal, which is insane to say out loud, but I just said it. I don't want either of those type players. I want a Josh Allen. I want a Justin Herbert. I want a guy that can move around. Deshaun Watson. Obviously Mahomes, but I want a guy that can move. That's Carson Wentz. I know not this version of Carson Wentz, but a younger Roethlisberger. I need athleticism at the quarterback position. What we talked about on Monday night with Justin Herbert, that's what I'm looking for. That. Move the pocket. Rocket arm. And then you mold it. That's what Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes. Super Bowl later, $450 million contract, they're in a good position. Even though it's Greg Cassell, he's got to play a little bit better in the pocket, but you know he's young. He's just having a couple off games. Appreciate everyone listening. Again, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe. If you got a Tesla, I'll work on that. And keep swinging. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football. And I'll see you next week. Again, subscribe to the podcast, 3 and Out, on its own feed. Adios.